Today is September 28th, 2016, and this is episode number 378 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, a romance novelist in the making. I have it, Jeff. I have it on good authority that I've been wasting my time with the science fiction business.
Well, you know, if you can find the right demographic for your work, you know what? I would read your romance novels.
My future in literature is apparently ripped bodices, heaving bosoms, and glistening chests.
50 Shades of Silicon and not Silicone.
Ripped bodices. To get the full story.
And the ripped bodice.
No, actually, you won't find that. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AC. By the way, you know what's fantastic is that there is a subset of our listenership who, you know, like laughed or chuckled or nodded when I say ripped bodice, and then the whole rest of them are like, what's that?
Yes, but for those that get it, they really appreciate it.
And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note. I've had no sleep, Jeff. I'm so punchy at acm@macobserver.com. None sleep. I've had none sleep, man, for like days.
His gaze, it locked to her eyes. He let out a sigh.
Okay, your future does not lie in romance novels.
I don't know. I think it's really hot in here right now. Wait, the air conditioner's off.
Listen, folks. So I'm serious. No sleep. Strap in. If you're gonna listen to us for the next, you know, 50 plus minutes, just strap in. Hold on.
I know turn us off.
It might be a better idea just to turn us off.
I'm thinking what you should do is keep your arms and hands inside the vehicle at all times.
Yeah. Can I mute? Are you kidding me? So ridiculous. Nah. All right. So we have what show is this?
This is Apple Context Machine. This is the one
right, the
where
story about
I'm,
Apple.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Where we talk about technology.
I was thinking the point of showing up to the show was to see what your job was this week.
Well, there's that too. Yeah, there is that too. Well, you know, what have I been? I've been a hobo. I've been an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. Train engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a precious snowflake. I think I was recent, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, just a couple weeks ago, I believe you were a precious snowflake.
Yeah.
Lots of jobs. A haberdasher?
I have been a haberdasher. Have I been a fisherman? I haven't been a fisherman. I should try that on.
You should try that on.
It might suit me.
It could.
You don't know. You're not my boss. How about the headphone jack? Is the headphone jack your boss?
Actually, no, it's not. Well played. Very well done, Brian.
Listen, if I'm the one getting us on track, we are in trouble.
I told you, I'm along for the ride this week. I'm just expecting you to entertain me for about 50 more minutes, and then I'll just top off the day by getting a refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
On a side note, get this, people. I've been without a refrigerator for a week and a half.
True story.
And I have not died from hunger.
Which is, like, mystifying.
Well, you know, I've spent many, many years out in the backcountry, so I just kind of switched my cooking and food storage mode.
Wait a minute. So if you didn't have a fridge, that means you didn't have a freezer. Where did you store things like your shoes or, you know, anything that comes, like, into your apartment?
I'm not the person that stores my personal items in the freezer. That's what my dad does.
That's right. My mistake. I'm sorry. I was thinking my father looks on.
You know, and the horrible thing is that my shoes are never fresh anymore.
True stories, folks. We are here with true stories. We should maybe do a true story podcast. So the headphone jack got taken away. And
on the iPhone 7.
Uh-huh. The iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. Mm-hmm. There was lots of consternation. Phil Schiller called Apple brave. They said courage. He said that Apple does these things because it has the courage to do so. And a lot of people, well, in particular people, of course, who were cranky about the lack of a headphone jack, were very offended by that. Because, of course, whether or not he intended it, Phil Schiller was telling people that aren't willing to let it go that they don't have courage.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying.
And I don't think, of course, that was his intended message, but I don't blame anyone for hearing it that way at all. Even though I'm okay with the headphone jack going away, I don't blame anybody, but how long have we had our iPhones? So a week and a half?
Let's see. We got them on a Friday. So yeah, week and a half now.
16th. Yeah. So week and a half. The thing that we've been writing a lot of tips at TMO, mm-hmm. because, you know, we have new OSs, new Sierra, new iOS, new iPhones. And, that's not our usual fodder for this show. So we thought that we'd actually just talk about our actual experiences without having a headphone jack.
And my experience so far has been, what headphone jack? I still haven't taken the adapter out of my box.
What are you using? Are you using the earbuds that came with
the earbuds? No. Those are in the box too. I have no interest in using Apple's earbuds. They kill my ears. They feel so uncomfortable to me. Hmm. I have a set of Jaybird. It's the Bluebud, I believe. It's the X2. That's what I have. The X2.
You listen to your music through Bluetooth, like some kind of animal?
No, I listen to almost no music on my iPhone.
Like some kind of animal.
Like some kind of animal. No, most of my music when I'm working is being played through the Audio Engine speakers on my desk.
Sure.
And when I'm actually listening to music on my iPhone, it's when I am like doing something physical. I'm at the gym. I'm out on the bike trail, whatever. And just to clarify, I don't listen to music when I'm bicycling because you need to be able to hear all around you. You put earphones in, you're going to get hit by car. But I have the X2s, and then I also have a set of earbuds that I just started playing with, and they're from Jabra. And they mm-hmm. have a heart rate sensor built in. Mm. So I will listen to music over Bluetooth at the gym where the audio quality
doesn't really matter.
But to be fair, those X2s, I do like the audio quality that I get off of them.
Fair enough. I've been using I continue to use my Blue Microphone MoFis sitting at my desk. And I've been using those for phone conversations and this recording that we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. A Skype call, any kind of call that I want to keep private. I use it if I'm sitting at my desk taking a phone call. I tend to put on headphones mainly so that I've got the mic at my throat.
That makes sense.
Right. And also because for whatever reason, it's interesting. Unless I'm in my car, I like having headphones on for a phone call. I'd never realized that before. Anyway, I have also sometimes used the Audi's L8 Titaniums, the planar headphones that I have that came with a lightning cable out of the box.
Okay.
Right, I've mentioned those a few times. And so when I'm using my Blue MoFis, I use the Apple adapter. I've got it in my hands right now. It's just sitting right here on my desk. That hasn't been an issue. I've always had to plug in, move the MoFis from either my audio interface or my iPhone. Mm-hmm. So that isn't much different, except for, you know, now I sometimes put the adapter on. Well, half the time I'm moving it, I put the adapter on. That hasn't been an issue for me. And I haven't really had any charging issues. And that, to me, remains the biggest issue, is being able to pass through charge and listen through headphones at the same time.
Yep, I can see where that would be an issue.
Wouldn't be an issue, obviously, if you're listening through Bluetooth.
Right. Now, this will probably make you laugh. I have the headphone adapter that's in the box that I still haven't taken out. When I was out running errands at one point last week, I stopped by the Apple store and spent $9 to buy an adapter and plugged it in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I should probably try it out sometime and see what happens when I play audio or music out of my iPhone. So I've spent $9 on an adapter.
Wait, what's the adapter for? You? I'm sorry,
the Lightning to headphone adapter.
And this is not your fault that I tuned out. This is my fault.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So please, say again, what's this adapter for? I have no idea, dude. I have no idea.
Lightning to headphone adapter.
Lightning to headphone adapter. You bought one, even though you own one.
Yes. So I have one that's in the iPhone packaging that I still haven't taken out. I was out running errands, bought one at the Apple store, and plugged it in my car, and still haven't even used that.
So I'm actually kind of thinking you did that because you kind of wanted one in your car and one in your office.
That was the logic. I figured I should have one that just stays in the car, and then when I'm listening to music on my iPhone the rest of the time where the audio matters, so I'm going to plug in wired headphones.
Because you're not a wastrel by nature. That's right. I use the word wastrel in the podcast. You're not a wastrel by nature.
No. No. You probably don't even know what headphones I normally use when I'm wired listening to music.
Correct.
I have this awesome little headset from Audiofly, and it's wired, and
I like their stuff.
Oh man, I love my Audiofly earbuds.
But so where are you, you're not using them?
No. If the funny thing is, if I'm listening to music on a mobile device, it's on my iPad.
Really?
Yeah. I will plug in headphones to my iPad while I'm doing something else. Like if I'm writing on my iPad, then I plug in headphones and listen to music there.
Not that I'm against it. You know, it's so funny how we're all wired differently, and we all have different workflows and life flows.
Yeah. I couldn't even tell you what music is on my iPhone at any given time. But I've also set up my smart playlists so that it's randomly selecting music to put there.
Uh-huh.
So it's always a surprise to me what I hear on my iPhone.
Yeah, I could never know. I'm not going to have them. Not for me. I need to know what I got. You know what I lost, by the way? When I set up my iMac 5K that I got last December.
Uh-huh.
I was going from a terabyte drive to a half a terabyte drive. And so the thing that the biggest thing I threw away as much as I could, definitely couldn't, you know, get rid of a half a terabyte of data. So I kept my songs, my music collection on external hard drive.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
And in the process of moving my library, I lost my playlist, which that's not that big a deal, but I lost my playlist, and more worse, I lost my my played data, and I lost my star ratings, although Apple seems intent on screwing us out of our star ratings anyway, so maybe that's not so bad a deal.
But they were just helping you there.
My most valuable playlists were my 5-star playlist and my 4 and 5-star playlists. Those were very important for writing out when I was out and about.
And you don't have those now.
I don't have the underlying data. There's no what are my likes? I got to start over.
Oh, that's right. There were smart playlists, of course.
Yeah, and I can't. And I can't, this binary like crap that Apple is doing with iTunes now, heart of freaking song, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me at all, because I actually want to tell, I don't want to just tell iTunes what I like and I don't like. I very much want to tell iTunes that I like this a lot. I like this one pretty much. This is okay. And you know, right? I mean, those are all, to me, those are all important. Now, again, we're all different on these things. But mm-hmm. I had years worth of data on that, where I had almost all my songs rated and had playlists accordingly. And all that's gone, and I can't rebuild it. I actually, it's possible that data is around somewhere, but
of course, yeah, it's, well, if you have a backup of your iTunes library from before you moved everything, you have all that stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's neither here nor there. But anyway, the point is this: what is the point? The point is that I don't know what the point is. Music. Listening to music. Headphone jack. Yeah, what do you think of the headphone jack?
I love that you haven't been sleeping.
I saw our friend Ryder on Twitter, who is the crankiest person about the headphone jack. He is not, he's just not at all okay with the headphone jack. Love you, Ryder. He pointed to me, let me see if I can't find this. He found, I think it was actually just a concept someone was tossing around. But it was a case that had the lightning port on the case and then a headphone jack on the case. So it was a lightning splitter.
Okay.
But a headphone jack was built into the case. So the case would extend at the bottom. It would actually extend the footprint of your iPhone. But that's definitely one way to do that.
I think it's a safe bet. Someone is prototyping that right now.
Right. If I was thinking towards the future, what I would do, though, is I would do a case with two lightning ports instead of the headphone jack. Because that's going to be the more future-proof case, because it will not be too long before headphones are coming with lightning ports.
Right.
It's, you know, and that's what you get. It won't be too long.
I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing someone come out with their own version of Apple's lightning to headphone jack adapter, where the DAC that's built in is better than the one that Apple uses.
Yeah, like the Audi's L8 titanium headphones that I have. It's got a very impressive DAC built into the cable. It's absolutely part of why those headphones sound so amazing. I mean, they're also $800 headphones.
I'm sure that comes into play as well. But
yeah, I mean, you know,
really good.
You're paying for that quality,
right?
But yeah, I would assume that will be the thing. What you just said, that someone's going to come out with an adapter that's got the DAC in it. I guess that would be the way to do it. Someone's going to do that, and there will probably be lots of someone's that do that. As a matter of fact, I bet we see a lot of this stuff at CES.
I bet you're right. I bet you're right. And I'm thinking that if someone comes out with, say, a $25 adapter, it's going to sound markedly better than what Apple has. I mean, they're selling us a lightning connector adapter thing with a DAC built in for $9.
I suspect that, well, of course, first of all, you have Apple's ability to scale and leverage that scale, right?
Sure.
At play in that pricing. But I would not be surprised if Apple doesn't have its customary markup on that particular product, because they had an inkling that this transition was going to be so difficult for some people.
They're just kind of eating it, so to speak, on the profit on that product to ease this transition.
Right. To that end, it may not be that easy for someone to make a markedly better DAC in an adapter for only $25. I don't know the cost of materials here. I don't know the technology here, so maybe I'm just wrong. But I don't think it would be that easy to sound a whole lot better than what Apple's giving you for $9 for only $25.
Yeah, because that's, you know, totally possible.
I mean, Apple's going to be making tens of millions of those things. Any competitor that puts out a product that's more expensive, they're probably going to be making thousands of those units.
True. Yeah, and Apple
maybe
must be selling those.
Tens of thousands of those units. Yeah. And for the vast majority of people, they don't care. They wouldn't even be able to hear the difference anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Most people can't hear the difference between plugging directly into the headphone jack and listening over Bluetooth.
Yeah, right. And if anything, there might be more market opportunity in the $100 adapter range, right? Because it's the people that actually care about their music that are going to be the most interest in not spending $9.
Okay. Yep. I could see that.
I said that was a bit convoluted, but hopefully.
No, it's all right. Like I said, I already buckled in. I'm along for the ride. Yeah. And now I'm wondering how many people are like me that went and bought a second adapter to go along with the one they never took out of the packaging.
Yeah, I haven't used either one of them.
I haven't used either one of them.
Dude, this is like the most wasteful thing that I think I've ever heard you do. I mean, you're I'm not going to say you're careful with your money. You're smart with your money.
And I went and blew $9, and there was no need for me to do that because the likelihood I'm going to need two adapters is so slim.
Well, okay. The flip side is that you have it, and come the time that you need it, you wouldn't be able to just go get it.
That's true. Yeah. The odds are when I'm really going to want that adapter in the car, I'm going to be driving maybe on a road trip or something. And that's the point where I'd be like, oh, I really want to listen to music on my iPhone, and now I can't.
Right.
So actually, I know exactly when I'll end up using it. Every year for Christmas, I go to Steamboat to spend some time with my brother, and I listen to music for the whole drive. So, Brian, I wasn't wasteful. I'm just not a procrastinator.
You're proactive.
I'm proactive.
You're proactive. And also, I you know, along the lines of what we were just talking about, that $9 price point made it probably a trivial decision for you.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not saying that $9 is nothing. $9 is not nothing. But it's in the grand scheme of things when it comes to our devices, $9 is way off the charts on the low end.
Right. It was not a purchase that I stewed over.
You would not have bought it if it had been $25.
You're absolutely right.
And I think that this is why Apple is priced. I mean, it's not even $9.99. It's $9, right?
It's $9. Yeah, I wouldn't have bought it if it had been $19. But at $9, right. It was right. One of those things I was like, oh, I'm here. I'm near the Apple store. I'm just going to go grab one.
Yeah, so I'm gonna sort of iterate my stance that people probably aren't going to be able to out-quality Apple with this particular product at $25, maybe not even at $40.
Yeah, I bet you're right. We're going to see several different adapters at CES. And I bet you're also right that they're going to be coming in around the $100 mark.
Yeah, 79 to 100. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. All right.
$79 to $100. But again, I don't know what the math is on these components. DACs are not like, you're not having to reinvent the wheel to make a DAC these days.
No. And my assumption is the most expensive component in something like this adapter would be that DAC chip.
Yeah. Yes. And the vast majority, I mean, you see how small Apple's product is.
Yeah, it's like small enough.
You wouldn't even think that. I mean,
no, there were people questioning if there was even a DAC in there until iFixit tore one apart. Yes. And they're like, there it is.
There it is. Yeah, I was wondering. I was wondering how Apple was doing that when I saw it. Do you remember Dr. Andrew Levitt at 17 Orbits?
Uh huh.
He had what he called a mock-up of a Lightning to headphone adapter.
Uh huh.
And I think I commented that, you know, no chance it's going to look like that. And I suspect it was I had no idea, but I suspect that it was a pre-produced product because the darn thing looks exactly like what Apple showed. Exactly.
Yeah.
And but my point is that I was like, well, it's not going to look like that.
No, actually, Brian,
it's got to put a DAC in there somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I was certain there would be a DAC in the adapter. And I was not surprised when one was gutted and there it was. But I did expect the adapter to be bigger to accommodate the DAC.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess what we're saying is the fact that there's no headphone jack on the iPhone 7 has not been an issue for either of us.
Right. Can I mute? In the immortal words of Cher Horowitz, as if.
As
if.
Sing it, Brian. Sing it.
No, wrong Cher, brother. I'm a clueless.
No. My sing it. What? And I know you're tired, so you didn't get it. That was a Fish Called Wanda reference. You were having a hard time getting the words out.
Yes.
And so they told Michael Palin's character, sing it. It was John Cleese.
Right. The funny thing is. Where I went in my head, which I went to D-Light in my head.
Ah.
I couldn't ask for another. No sleep, man.
And I'm just picturing John Cleese going, Cathcart Towers Hotel. Boom, he's gone.
It's such a good movie. Really Apple Watch.
Movie. Oh, sure.
You said something to me right before we started recording. That you're like, yeah, that millimeter, that 1 millimeter, or I'm sorry, that imperceptible size difference. And you say that you notice it.
Yes. When I hold my Apple Watch Zero and my Apple Watch Series 2 side by side and I look at them on edge, I mean, it's obvious to me which is which.
And well, it's obvious to me, too, but a lot of that is because of the lines. I think the lines on the Apple Watch Series 2 are infinitely better. Infinitely better. I love the way Apple Watch Series 2 flows. I love the shape of the crystal. And my point is that's all I can see when I look at the body when it comes to the difference between the two devices.
And to me, Apple Watch Series 2 looks a little puffier.
But it's so much more elegant.
Oh, and just so you know, I'm not complaining at all. It's just an observation.
I'm putting mine on my Series Zero.
Yeah, it just looks puffier. It still looks totally fine to me. And I think most people have no way of telling the difference between the watches until I tell them which is which. And honestly, if I don't pick up my Series 1 watch, or excuse me, my Series 0 watch, and hold it up next to the Series 2, the visual differences fade away for me. But I can tell the difference.
Well, I can tell the difference too, and it's not the thickness, because the thickness is pretty imperceptible. It is actually imperceptible to me, I will concede that imperceptible is maybe because all I can see is how much better the design is. It looks so much better to me.
It does look nice. puffy, but nice.
Here's one of the awesome things about the difference between the two watches. Okay. This is actually part of. So, all right, we discussed before that one of the differences is the way the bezel is. The bezel grabs hold of the glass.
Yes.
There's another thing, and maybe I haven't even pointed this out to you. Maybe we have talked about it. I don't know. We probably talked about some things, and the display on Apple Watch Series 2 is square with sharp corners.
Uh-huh.
And it's sitting in a device that has rounded corners.
Yep.
There is a, like right now, my Apple Watch Series 0 has been run down because I haven't charged it because I'm not wearing it.
Sure.
And that means the display is completely unpowered. Yet I can see where the display is and where the black glass around the display is.
And I have to get the light right to be able to do that.
I'm sitting here. I've got some ambient light from outside from one window. I have no overhead lights on, have no incandescent lights on, and I've got the light from my 5K display, which is not inconsiderable. Right. I'm not well lit is my point. And I have no lighting behind me. And I can see where my Apple Watch Series 2 display is. I cannot see where the display is within the black face on Apple Watch Series 2. Not even when it's on, let alone when it's off.
All right, I'm experimenting right now with both of my watches, and I'm leaning away from my desk so that I can get better sunlight. And okay, that's funny. I just got an alert, so it messed that test up. But okay, so I could see the display when I got the light just right on my Series Zero. And
interesting. I can't.
But
do you see it usually?
No.
That difference makes this device look more elegant. More specifically, Apple Watch Series 2 looks clunkier because you can see the difference. Because it makes all of that space around the display look big and unused and bulky, ungainly. And Apple Watch Series 2, because you don't see the space, right? In other words, it's the black of the display matches the black of the crystal, or the, you know, or the backing, the whatever the crystal's covering.
Yeah, I'm finding it really difficult to see where the display is inside the crystal on Series 2.
And that makes the thing look more elegant in comparison to Series 0.
My guess is that's very much on purpose.
Oh, well, no, of course it's on purpose. It's absolutely on purpose. But these are the things that I see when I look at it. I don't see the size difference. I see elegance. I see more of the product that I expected from Apple in the first place than I got with Series Zero.
Yeah. Still puffier.
So it's so interesting how we're all wired differently.
Yeah, it is. And
while we're talking about this now, I fessed up. I sprung this on you on TDO. Was that yesterday? I fessed up with John Martellaro. We had a bet. John was insisting that Apple Watch, the new Apple Watch, this is obviously before the Series 2, long before the Series 2 was announced. He insisted that the device would be the same size so that Apple could give us more battery life. And I laughed at him. I laughed at him in public. I laughed at him. Said, like, are you just meeting Apple for the first time? I was a jerk to him because there was no way that Apple would give us a device that looked thick to me. And so that they could maintain battery life rather than making it thinner and giving us the same battery life as the original device. I mean, like, you know, Apple obsesses over making iPhone, which does not look thick, thinner.
Right.
So, and you just heard me go on about how, you know, I felt like Apple Watch Series 0 was ungainly and not as elegant as I was expecting, right? So, you know, to me, I'm projecting my own nonsense onto Apple. And there's just no way the new Apple Watch was going to be not going to be thinner. And that it's certainly not going to have any additional battery life. Apple never gives us more battery life.
No. No, they don't.
We're lucky if we get the same battery life.
Except for this year.
Feels that way. Yeah. And to be fair, the iPhone 7 has more battery life. MacBook Air certainly has gotten, the MacBook line has gotten more battery life. But when it comes to its mobile devices, Apple's never given us more battery life. And yesterday, I used 26% of my Apple Watch Series 2, and I had a long ass day.
Yeah, my day with the watch on wasn't as long as yours, but I still only went through 20% of my battery. And I was wearing my watch a substantial part of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be able to see a noticeable hit on my battery when I would track workouts. Mm-hmm. It's not nearly as big a hit now with Series 2.
No, it's not. I could basically go almost... I could go almost 2 days, but I'm probably going to run out of power on my original Apple Watch. And of course, you know, it's also a year and a half old.
Sure.
Right. The battery has been charged a bunch and it's lost some of its efficacy. But the 20 going 26%. I've gone on four different occasions now. I've deliberately gone 2 days without taking the watch off. Just to see exactly what it was doing, and I'll have 40% of my battery life left at the end of 2 days.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So I mean, well, yeah. I don't know. Is it impressive? I mean, you know,
it is, because we're comparing it to Apple Watch Series 1 or Series 0.
Right. All right. So all right. Fine. With that in mind, it is, at the very least, it is surprising to me, and I just want to make sure that. All of our listeners and readers alike, but all of our listeners in particular, hear me say that John Martellaro nailed this, and I was just utterly wrong. Utterly, utterly wrong. John nailed it.
Yeah, he did. And the funny thing is, he didn't even remember nailing it.
No, he'd kind of forgotten the terms. But the other thing is that, you know, Apple told me at the media event and what they said on stage. But they iterated this at the hands-on session for the media event. They said that it had the same all-day battery life as the original Apple One. Mm-hmm. To me, it seems like they should be crowing. And now I realize that someone who's using like a lot of GPS ability, like a runner, like an athlete that is using Apple Watch Series 2 to track their workouts and to track their in particular, to track their routes for bicycling or running or walking or whatever, those folks are definitely going to use a lot more battery life than me, who works out of my home office. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to me that Apple is not making a deal about this battery life, about the increased battery life. All they've said is it has the same all day battery life. At no point have they said it has more battery life.
That's true. Well, Apple tends to be very conservative about their battery life claims for Apple Watch.
Fair enough. All right. So how much time do we have? Where are we?
Oh, we still have 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Come on, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Does that mean I can't take a nap yet?
Well, you can, but the next 20 minutes of the show will just be... Okay, everyone, we have to be quiet so we don't wake Brian up.
You know what we haven't mentioned?
What haven't we mentioned?
Apple named their newest Mac operating system after our intern.
That explains the arrogant swish in his walk.
Not you, Ainsley. We're talking about Sierra. Duh. God, those guys.
I have never seen a look of disappointment on someone's face quite so profound.
I mean, it's like, how did he not know? Anyway, yeah, Sierra. They named it in honor of our intern, obviously.
I'm just assuming that there's going to be a court order showing up pretty soon that says Sierra has to change his name, you know, for copyright violation.
Oops.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Sorry about that. No, you can't have off to go to the court. All right. Let's see here. Siri, that is a delightful segue to talk about Siri on the Mac, I guess. I don't know. Let's talk about Siri on the
Mac. Again, I'm along for the ride today. Have you even used Siri on the Mac?
Yes, I did set it up.
Okay. Well, I hadn't even bothered to set it up until mere moments before we started recording.
I set it up immediately, actually. I immediately set up Siri and then have not used it since. until before the show when we were starting to play around with it.
You know, I'm wondering how many people really are using Siri on their Macs?
The Mac. Yeah. I'm wondering too. Here's one of the biggest things. I didn't even realize this because I haven't been using it, right? I didn't realize this until you and I started talking about the setup as we were working on putting the show together. And Hey Siri is not part of, by the way, I'm sorry, everybody, is not part of the Mac version of Siri. That seems really weird to me.
It seems very weird to me, too. And I didn't even realize that it wasn't there until I went and looked at the settings, because I was doing the keyboard shortcut, the option spacebar thing, to invoke it when I did my test right before we started recording. And I was saying, Yo Siri, when I would start speaking my commands, even though I was holding down the keyboard combination. And yeah, you're right. It seems like being able to say that command without keyboard shortcuts would be far more useful on the Mac. I mean, you could train it for your voice just like you do on the iPhone when you set up your iPhone. And if you're worried about your iPhone grabbing the command instead, you just lay your iPhone face down. And then that tells Siri, don't listen.
Right.
Yeah, it should be.
And here's why I find this funny. I mean, so the reality is that the way Apple does things is they do staged rollouts. So, you know, we're just getting Siri on the Mac in the first place. Well, we'll probably get Hey Siri again, on the Mac next year with Mac OS Ainsley.
Do you see those eyes light up?
Yeah. Keep dreaming. We'll probably get it next year. But this to me is the thing is that command. I'm not going to do that to people anymore.
Just say Yo Siri, and everyone knows that we mean Hey.
Fair enough. Yo Siri, that command would be more useful to me on a desktop computer in particular than it is on our mobile devices. Not that it's not useful on our mobile devices, but to me, at least the way I think about using my computer, speaking to my computer on a frequent basis seems like it's going to happen a lot more than me speaking to my mobile device. Maybe it's my age.
Oh, I just had an idea, Brian.
Yeah, do tell.
Okay, let's assume that not including Yo Siri on the Mac was a very intentional act, and Apple doesn't plan on adding that feature in. Why would they not, when it makes so much sense, like we've already established? maybe because Apple is really working on a Siri appliance to compete with Amazon Echo, and that's going to be reserved for that device.
All right. Well, first of all, Apple is working on that. Secondly, I don't see why you can't have both, because you just, you have it be an opt-in feature on the Mac. And as a matter of, I mean, it seems to me, as a matter of fact, that my Mac should be that device in a room if I so choose. It's not like, you know, it's not going to be able to do the computing power that the standalone device will.
Sure, but if Apple wants to give you a little bit of extra incentive to pick up the Siri box. But
that's not how Apple works.
No.
They're making an ecosystem and an experience.
Yeah.
And I would have a better experience.
They like to craft that experience for us.
True, but in my home office, I personally would have a better experience if the computer that's already there could actually do everything that the box could do. It's got the speaker, it's got the microphone, it's got the horsepower, it's got the software. Giddy up.
Yeah. Well, in that case, we really don't need to have an Apple TV.
Sierra, draft a letter to Tim Cook saying everything that I just said. No. Right. Draft means right. All right, thanks.
You know, I have to take
this is not going to go well
for that because I had him totally trained that draft meant get me a beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's about time he learns how to multitask. Being, you know, it's a Mac. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
I kind of wish I hadn't done it, but you know, whatevs.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so anyway, I think that Yo Siri should be on the Mac. I'm really surprised that it's not. It seems to me that it would be more useful on a Mac that it would be even more useful on a computer than it would be on a mobile device. But again, maybe I'm just projecting a lot.
All right.
Maybe that's just me.
I've got a question for you. Mm-hmm. How do you plan on using Siri on your Mac?
I don't plan on it because I haven't wrapped my head around using it yet.
All right. I think we need to do some crowdsourcing here and enlist the aid of our listeners, because right now I'm not sure how I would benefit from using Siri on my Mac.
Here's how I would benefit from using Siri on my Mac. I'm just going to start rolling out some like completely punchy, no sleep ideas.
All right. I'm ready.
You get a text message from somebody from a new number, but you know who it is, right? Hey, Siri, add that to my contacts. Siri adds it to my contacts and opens up the thing where I can name, or maybe she even asks me the name or asks me if it should go to, you know, whatever. You know, and then she should also turn around and grab, if I do put a name to it, she should turn around and be able to grab any kind of email or Twitter or any other kind of data that I have on who that person is. I would love to have Siri to be able to tell, not because I'm afraid of using the keyboard and whatnot. I would just like to be able to have her do that for me without me having to mess with any of it. Take care of it. Find an email, like a very, very advanced search. Without me having to muck about with trying to figure it out, you know, find me the email from Apple about my iPhone 7 shipment.
Okay.
Right. These are things that I would love to be able to just tell Siri how to do it, and that she would do it for me. Bookmark this for me. Drop that into Dropbox. I don't know. Those are the kind. It's the kind of things that really shouldn't require me to do additional input. Those are the things that I would like Siri to do for me, and that's the way. That's the kind of workflow I would love to adapt with her or develop with her.
Okay, I can see that, and I'm still interested in what our listeners want to use Siri for on their Macs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. You should ask them. Why don't you ask them?
I think I already did, but I'll ask again because maybe you were asleep. Hey, listeners, I really want to know how you are using Siri on your Mac. Let us know. You can send us a tweet through the tweet box that is Context Machine, @ContextMachine. You can shoot us emails. That would be acm@macobserver.com. And then, of course, you can also leave comments in the show notes.
Indeed. We'd like to hear from you. And if you haven't used Siri, why?
Yeah, I'm really curious because
that's pretty straight up legit too.
I mean, I was really excited Siri was coming to the Mac when it was announced, and now I've got it, and I'm just like, well, I don't know how I really want to use it.
Right.
So, guide me, wise sages.
Yes, let us know what you think. You know what I thought, by the way, that. That we had a listener email that I wanted to address. It might have actually been something for TDO because I can't find it.
I bet. I don't know, actually.
No, it was. Which episode are we in?
Today, this is episode 378.
Yes. Maxis wrote to us.
Oh, great.
He said on ACM 337, just listening to ACM 337, best start ever. What are we doing?
It was really good. I mean, it was really good.
Do you remember?
No.
Thank you, Mathis. I'm sorry that we're so lame. We don't even know. I have no idea. I don't remember what we did. Was that last week?
337? No, because we're on 378.
No, 377.
Oh, you said 337. Okay, so last week's show.
Yeah, last week's show.
That was the big Brian comeback show.
No, I lied to you. That was 337. Yeah, I have no idea what
Seriously,
we did.
Seriously, Brian, you have to
That was like a year ago. That was like a year ago. We did, however, get it. This is the email I was actually looking for. By the way, so what happened is I typed in mail, I typed in ACM77 and didn't notice. If I'd said, if I'd been able to dictate this properly. Donna wrote into us, and she said, new iPhone every year, no matter what, gold, rose gold, because we asked if people like to upgrade every year.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. I don't remember this thing we did a year ago. That's crazy. I appreciate that this year I only need to pay $100 extra for a decent amount of storage. She said, I absolutely hate that I cannot charge while using the only wired headset that stays in my ears. I don't care how old the technology was. It worked perfectly, and I would give up the water resistance to have the 3.5 millimeter jack pack.
I don't think it's so much the water resistance. I think it's the space Apple needed for the Taptic engine.
I think it's both.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying, and you could be right. I don't know that I'm right, but I think that I think it was both. And then she said that the 6S was likely my last deal in contract, so I'm selling it for more than I paid. Yeah, right. So anyway, she thanked us for a great show, and we thank her for very much for writing in
and for listening and for putting up with Brian us.
Yeah, especially Brian. That guy is just. It's a catastrophe.
I think he just needs a nap.
Yeah, I wonder what we did in episode 337.
It was really good.
Okay, apparently. Thank you, Mathis.
Yeah, you rock.
All right, so...
you realize he's going to hear this a year from now.
Why a year from now? Why because is he a year behind?
Because if he's a year behind...
I'm a year behind. Why is he a year behind? No. I searched for ACM77.
Oh, so you found
let me see what the heck.
So you found an email for a show
right,
a year ago,
reason,
and the email's a year old.
January 28th, 2016, I typed in to mail ACM77, and the fourth most recent and apparently relevant result was not 377 from Donna, but Mathis's email about 337. My search was for ACM 77. I'm looking at it right now. ACM space 77 in mail. I've got a piece of spam for my most recent result. I've got a press release. I've got another press release for $7.77 in the title. And then I've got something from Barclays. And then the next result is Mathis's email for ACM 337. But the email from Donna for 377 is not there. It's not in these results at all. How does that make any sense?
Yo, Siri, why are my email search results all messed up? Now I have a use for Siri on my Mac.
Hey, Siri, why are my email results so messed up?
And the awesome thing is, Siri is talking back through your headphones.
No, she's not, actually. I have my Mac muted. She gave me no results whatsoever, or nothing useful. Anyway, I actually find that messed up. Anyway, so that's how we wound up from the January 2016 feedback for Mathis.
Okay, and see, and I thought that that Mathis had just listened to that episode, so he's like a year behind.
No.
Which meant it would be a year from now. When he heard a response.
I mean, like, think about it. Which is more likely? That I'm a year behind? Okay. So I just got the dictionary word of the day, dictionary.com word of the day, which I love, by the way. I subscribe to that.
Okay.
I love it.
Tell me, Brian, what's the dictionary word of the day?
I still haven't even read the definition, but I just love the sound of the word. Eristic. E-R-I-S-T-I-C. Eristic. Also eristical, they say. And as an adjective, it means pertaining to controversy or disputation. As a noun, it's a person who engages in disputation, a controversialist. There's a word for this, the art of disputation.
Wow.
How marvelous is this word, eristic or eristical? How marvelous. That's a wonderful word.
That's a wonderful word. It absolutely is. And when you said the word at first, I thought you said aristic, not mm-hmm. eristic. And mm-hmm. I was thinking,
it might be eristic, actually. What is in pronunciation guides? If it's a little e, there's no line over it. That would be a right.
Yes.
Eristic. Okay. Yeah. So it's eristic.
So it's eristic. And I was thinking you said aristic, which mm-hmm. meant that we were so close to me getting to do the joke that we'd get our show canceled forever. The Aristocats. The Aristocrats.
Oh my God. Listen, the train is here. Got to go.
I know. You're actually right. We totally have to go.
Yes.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
For the record, I advise everyone to mute, and our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and probably for the best. That's all for this week.
Stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Assuming you don't see us first.